everybody, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the Little Ranch House right here on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. Show number 83, I believe. And this is June 7th, the year 2004. Good to have you with us today. For the next hour, we'll talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the show, ladies and gentlemen, Don Patterson.
For the first time ever in the history of the show, I'm the sole host of the show. What about it?
The sole host of the show. Don Shaw is not here. He's on assignment today, so. My name is Tom Houston, but here he is, friends and neighbors, the producer, the creator of the Blind Handyman Show. Here he is, Phil Parr.
Thank you so much, Tom. It's so good to be here with you, friends. Don is off, I guess, in probably off in California where they're burying Reagan or something.
I was going to say, he probably declared a national holiday. And he just assumed we were going to follow suit with everybody else, and so Don just took off.
All I can say is, well, Reagan, that was his line. Ask any question, ask him, he went, well, remember, there you go again. Isn't that what he told Jimmy Carter?
Oh, you had to love him. Had to love him.
No, you didn't. I didn't love him.
I loved his one-liners.
I didn't like it. He paid for this microphone. He didn't have humor, didn't he?
He had a pretty good wit about him. He really did.
Single-handedly defeated the Soviet Union. That was amazing, wasn't it? Of course, nothing anybody else did had anything to do with it.
Tear that wall down.
We don't want to belabor. I guess, remember when he didn't realize the mic was open, he said, we're going to nuke the Soviet Union, and bombing begins in 15 minutes. I guess. Remember that?
No.
Huh?
No.
Yes, I guess that scared him. Yeah, he didn't know the microphone was open, and he was just talking to somebody, and he made this statement, and it got out. It was on, you know, the network, and networks played that quote. I guess that scared him so bad, they just folded up the entire Soviet Union and snuck away, didn't they?
Well, that would be scary.
I'll tell you this. Let me just say this. I wonder, when Jimmy Carter dies, will the religious right, the Bush zealots, be as nice to Carter's memory as the liberals have been to Reagan's memory? I perceive no. No, they won't. They'll be nasty about it.
Well, they would probably try to say something good about Carter, but there's just not much to say.
You're stepping in it fast.
While Ronald Reagan was going, well, Jimmy Carter was building houses for poor people. Just remember that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm the only host today. Phil and I was going to be doing this alone.
Jimmy Carter was building houses for poor people, and Ronald Reagan was sitting around having Alzheimer's. But it's really amazing that Nancy stayed with him. Of course, amazing that my wife stayed with me. I'm physically handicapped. I don't know why she does. But anyway, enough of that. Enough of Ronald Reagan. He's dead. That's the way it goes, isn't it? Boy, we got to get mail on this. You got to get mail on something. You got to stir up controversy, don't you, to get mail. Don Shaw is having some problems today that he's taking care of. I don't know what he's renewing his driver's license or something. I don't know what the hell he's doing. But anyway, he's not here.
Probably recruiting students. He's probably poking their eyes out or something around town.
Recruiting
students. I think he's suffering from a lack of students out there at the college.
Does he have any this summer at all?
I think not. And so far, the administration probably is not aware of that, so he continues
to draw his
salary. Well, you know.
but you don't think he has any students? What's that girl's name?
Vanessa?
Where is Vanessa?
I think she's gone on to wherever you go.
Did she graduate?
I think she finished.
How could she finish? You never completed any classes,
well,
did
I
she?
Think she finally just, I don't, maybe they just took
they
a
just
vote.
Got rid
maybe
of
they
her.
Just voted her a diploma.
Out. Just got her out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he doesn't have any students. He just goes out there and sits and reads books and talks about midgets. And gets paid for it. Well, you had that job. You could still be out there.
Yeah, I know, but I got bored.
You got bored. You'd rather work in the yard, huh?
I'd rather work in the yard.
All right, Tommy. Go ahead. You have email?
Well, yeah. This is from Pastor Ralph.
Ah, okay.
So my brother bought a 65-tooth blade to replace the 42-tooth blade in my 10-inch table saw. I had heard that the more teeth on a blade, the faster and better it cuts. This definitely has not been the case. Now, the new blade cuts much slower than the old one, even though the old one is chipped on some teeth. Both blades have carbide chips on the teeth. Did we get a bad blade, or was I misinformed about the superiority of blades with a higher number of teeth? Thanks.
I'd never heard that. Have you ever heard that, Pat?
Well, I mean, I've heard of finer tooth blades, you know, for smaller, like a plywood blade, as opposed to has real fine teeth, you know, more teeth. But I'll tell you what, if he's having a serious, if there's a noticeable, I can't believe that one's
that you could actually
that noticeable. I'd check and make sure I didn't have the dang thing on backwards, or, you know, or there's a label. In other words, there's a way to put them on right and wrong.
You know,
I did it on a table saw, and we cut a board, but Don Shaw and I were grunting. We kept saying, God, this new blade, it's just not cutting this board at all. Well, I had the blade on backward. It cut it.
So, you know, that's the deal. That's, I'll bet, what the deal is he's got the wrong side out. Because those teeth are angled a certain way.
Yeah, I mean, and it looks like it wouldn't, may not cut at all if it was on backwards. And surely, I mean, I'm not questioning his intelligence. I'd be the first thing I check because...
Is just turn it around.
Because if you put a new blade, my point would be, I just don't see how there would be a noticeable difference.
Any new blade you put on should cut better than the old blade. Whether they had 60 teeth or 10 teeth, you know.
Yeah, and so if it's that noticeable, I would...
I'd turn it around. But, I did not know for years, and you probably knew this, but I didn't know that you put a hacksaw blade on a certain way.
Yes, sir. I knew that. I
did
sure
not know that.
Screwed up on my table saw.
Because you want to put the blade where when you're pushing, it cuts best, and you can rub it along your finger and tell... The way, and you can put it on the other way, and it'll cut, but you're cutting through a half-inch shaft on the end of a motor. It'll take you a long time to cut that buddy with your hacksaw blade in backwards, because you're not, you know, your strongest stroke is going to be when you push away from you, not when you're pulling back. So you want it to cut best going that way, and you can rub it against your finger and tell. So I guess the saw blade would kind of be the same way, right? The teeth would be angled.
Yeah, they angle one way, and like I say, it almost sounds like on a skill saw that if it were on backwards, that it would make such a noise or bind or something that you would notice it right off. But like I say, with my table saw, Don Shaw and I actually cut a piece of plywood with it, but we kept moaning and groaning and complaining about how come it wasn't any better than the old blade.
So you had bought a new blade for that little table saw you had.
Yeah, $60 worth.
And put it on, and it was on backwards.
I had it on backwards.
And you can see pretty good.
Yes, sir. I just didn't know. I just got confused about the label being turned in. I mean, I'd read the manual even, but I just had it reversed.
And when you changed it,
oh, it worked like a champ.
Everything was fine.
Oh yes.
Those two wrenches, you have to hold the nut with one, and. So anyway, turn it around and see. I'd be interested in see if that's what he did, because this guy probably can't see. I mean, probably has no vision at all. He's on the blind handyman list. Anyway, go ahead, Tom.
Okay. Says hi. It's
out of here.
It's been a while since I've stripped or soldered an enamel-isolated inductor. So here's a question to the solder heads out there. I've forgotten how to get the damned enamel off. I'm reading this in their words now.
Okay, that's right.
At one time, I swore we used to just heat the wire, put a little solder on it, and it would crack up, and I would wipe it away. This new 10G inductor ain't doing that. Filing and whittling has proven to be more of a drag than I remember. So do any of you know the quick for getting the enamel off the wire? Thanks.
This guy's out of my league.
I was going to say, he sounds like he does this on a weekend basis. I've never done one.
I don't even know what he's talking about. What's he talking about?
I don't know.
Talking about wire with enamel on it.
An inductor or something or other.
You're over my head. Is there an answer?
I think there's a new show coming on starting next week, the Blind Electrician Show.
Blind Eye for the Straight Guy.
Yeah.
Probably is what it's called. I don't even know what he's talking about.
I have no idea. I'm sure I don't.
But I bet you he'll get a response.
Oh, I can tell you who'll know. Dale Levins from Canada will know. Absolutely. I guarantee that's his kind of thing. I mean, he knows about stuff like that. He'll know the answer, and if he's listening, he can get. Was there an answer on the list, or do you know?
Well, no, I didn't go any further on that one.
Oh well, that's. Did you really think we'd know that when you printed
that? Well, I just knew you and Pat would come up.
Another reason to miss Don Shaw. I thought he always took the questions off the list.
He won't know that.
No.
He'll not know that any better than we do.
No, Don Shaw wouldn't have picked this question.
Oh, no, that's probably true.
Okay. All right, here we go. This is in a different area. It says, does anyone know if Home Depot sells already-made stakes for setting forms? I want to pour some concrete. I've already got the forms pre-cut, and I need the stakes to set the forms. I have no way here at home to make the stakes.
Yes.
I'm making a concrete pad on the side of the house just off the walkway to set the garbage cans on.
Yes. The answer is yes.
The answer is yes, they do. Yeah. They make already made-up stakes, plastic or wooden, either one, that you can buy at either Lowe's or Home Depot or a hardware store.
Yeah, theirs are made out of 1x2, I think, or 1x3, something fairly small. They're not like 1x4, or like the people that make their own do, but I bought, and you can buy them, I think, maybe individually, also by the bundle.
Yeah, I know you can buy them by the bundle, because I had a bundle for some reason.
Because I had a bundle when I was doing running a string line across down one side of the place.
Well, let's see. What they were doing was tying down the beet shed. That's why we had a bundle of them. They were tying down the beet shed down at the beach, and John, and there was a bundle of them laying around here at one time. But if you know, doing something that small, I wouldn't waste some money on stakes. I'd just drywall screw my forms together.
Well, yeah, I don't know how big a pad, but golly, these stakes are less than a buck a piece. And
the whole bundle would be less than $3.
Yeah,
you know?
And you get 12 or 10, so, and you always need them. So.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It wouldn't hurt to have them. Just put them up somewhere, and then next time you need them.
Long, they're probably a couple or better, maybe 30 inches, 20-something inches long. So if you were going to kind of trial your pad after you do it, or run a board, smooth it out with a board, you might want to cut these off level with your form after you drove them in the ground.
That's not a bad idea. In other words, if you want to take a little trial and trial it off.
Yeah.
What if he's going to do this with Sacrete or what? Or have somebody?
That talks like it's a pretty small job there for his trash can, so I guess Sacrete would be.
Probably Sacrete and then smooth it off if he's got a trial to smooth it off with. But yeah, the answer is to your question is Home Depot or Lowe's or the other one, McCoy's. Which I guess they don't have up north, huh?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
All the states.
All right. Hope you got lots of email, Tommy.
Okay. Here we go.
Enamel on that wire. Let's get out of town.
A neighbor has noted that I have two garden hoses running into my swimming pool.
Uh-huh.
I have them in there because the next rainfall will cause the pool to overflow over the spillway or flapper.
Yep.
What I had forgot is that we have our water lines open to those hoses, that when using water inside, that we can suck water from the pool, such as doing dishes or taking a shower. Perhaps someone can better explain. Thanks, Lee.
Stop it. Just quit it. You have two, you may, you, you, I, pardon me, I don't know what he's, I'm lost. I've got a pool. And profess to know a little bit about it. He's got water hoses in his pool, and he may be in the house doing dishes and end up sucking water out of the pool to do the dishes with. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Read this email again. Come on. Read one more time.
I've got to open it up now.
I'll try to stay awake this time while you read it.
Hang on just a minute, big guy.
It's hot in here, isn't it?
I need to open it up again. Yeah, I'll talk about something.
I got to go turn the air conditioner up. Why don't I do that while you open up the email and you can just sort of hum while you're opening it up. You lost Lee's email. That's amazing.
There we go.
I don't understand what he's asking about.
Here's the email from pools.
Okay,
and
go ahead.
Here's the entire email. A neighbor has noted that I have two garden hoses running into my swimming pool.
Okay, stop right there. A neighbor has noted that.
Uh-huh.
Now, is this email from him or the neighbor?
This is from him.
Okay, a neighbor noted it.
Yeah.
All right, neighbor, okay, write that down.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, make a mental note of that.
Yes, we will, neighbor.
I have them in there because the next rainfall will cause the pool to overflow. Over the spillway, over the flapper.
Yes.
What I had forgot is that if we have our water lines open to those hoses, that when using water inside, that we can suck water from the pool, such as doing dishes or taking showers.
Perhaps someone on the list
can better explain.
Well, if he's got these hoses attached to a hydrant, and is he saying that he's running water into the pool after it rains? I'm confused, because why else would he have the valve open that the hose was attached to. And then if you're running water into the hose and you turn on the kitchen sink hydrant, it's not going to suck water.
Certainly not. I mean there's no way.
I'm not following his hookup.
You're not following him either, huh? Well, good. I thought I was Ronald Reagan there for a minute. But here's the thing. Because the water comes out under pressure.
Yeah.
And so there's no way, you know, unless he's using these as pumping hoses. And what is it? Water always flows over that little door in your spillway. It always does. That's the door's purpose. The door's purpose is to, when leaves, the door flaps down, leaves go in there, and then they're trapped behind this door. They can't come back out into the pool. It's called a weir door is what it's called. And that's why it's there, is to keep leaves in your skimmer so that you can fall in the basket, and then you can go and get them out to keep them from coming back into the pool with the movement of the water. If there's kids in the pool and moving the water around, they flap in that door back and forth. The leaves are caught behind the door. They cannot get out. They're trapped back there. But I don't see how he thinks. This is Lee A. Stone, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I wouldn't question his integrity if he says it sucked the water out of his pool. I wish he'd tell us how he thinks it.
We're going to have a long talk with Lee. Those of you who are on the list have seen some of his posts, and you know that he may have some problems. But, Lee's all right. We've had him on the show. He's a good friend of ours. We'll question him on the list about this email and try to get back to you folks. All right, let's see. Our guest today is...
Henry Osborne.
Henry Osborne. Yes, remember that? And we'll have Henry on in just a minute. More of the I Miss Dunn Show. Blind Like Me Show. Blind Like Handyman or whatever the hell it is. Bye.
The Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, so we started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to? I want a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had just had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me Show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
That I can talk to. I want you just the way you are.
You are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
You picked out those crazy emails just to screw me up, didn't you, Houston?
Huh? No, not really. Not
I mean, the weirdest email, and Shaw's not here.
I'll sure be glad when Shaw gets back. We never had to put up with stuff like that.
He gave us purpose.
And purpose and meaning.
Exactly.
He steered the show in the right direction.
Changing what it means to be blind. Don Shaw.
He's out in the world trying to prove his theory.
Hates midgets and all that. Henry Osborne, how are you, sir?
Good, how are you?
We're just fine down in Texas, and where are you?
I'm up here in Milford, Connecticut.
Milford, Connecticut. That's a reasonably kind of a small town, or what? What's the population?
Well, it's a fairly good-sized town. I'd say roughly 10,000 people or so.
Oh, that's not bad. Good town for a blind person to live in. You live there all your life?
No, I've lived out here for about 12 years now.
What would bring a guy to Milford, Connecticut? What brought you there?
Well, I used to live in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and when my wife and I remarried 15 years ago this month, we decided to move out to Milford because it was for safety reasons and just change of scenery.
Well, it's a little quiet town, and you thought you'd just be better off there, right?
Yes, it's much quieter here than it was in a big city.
I imagine so. You say you and your wife remarried. You meant married. You haven't married her twice, have you?
Actually, I did marry her twice. We had our renewal vows on our 10th anniversary.
Is that right? I had a friend that did the same thing. Had a wife and divorced her and then married her again. I've had two or three wives. I don't think
this is what Henry's gotten.
I've never married any of them a second time. Anyways, what's your level of vision, Henry?
I get to see light.
Just light. Mm-hmm. And does your wife see any at all?
She's fully sighted.
Oh, is she?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Drives a car and everything?
No, she also has a disability. She's confined to a wheelchair because she has cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have sort of a, kind of a joke, but it's a serious one.
Yeah.
I'm her legs and she's my eyes.
So you have kind of a multi-handicapped family, right?
Pretty much diverse, yes.
No, that's good. Tell her hello, and we're proud of her. Anyway, so, and you, we found you on a little article in, let's see, I can't remember. It was either Newsreel or Playback magazine. Do you remember which, do you know which one? Maybe Newsreel, I guess.
No, I didn't put anything in Newsreel.
Well, it was Playback magazine, was it?
Nope, not that one either. It was in either the Ziegler magazine.
Okay, all right.
Or it could have been the Braille Forum.
I bet it was the Ziegler magazine. I bet that's where I saw something about you, because I got your phone number from somewhere. It had to come from somewhere. I was thinking it was in... It was in Irwin Hotz magazine, but maybe it was in Newsreel. Anyway, you make just tell us what you're about to think. What you make?
Well, I make articles out of a product called Plastic Canvas, which is for your listeners. If they could picture a window screen, it's a piece of plastic that has mesh holes in it, like a window screen. And I take bits of yarn, I weave it through the holes, and I could make patterns or pictures. And out of that, I make tissue box covers, coasters, placemats, refrigerator magnets. I've just gotten into making cell phone cases, and the list goes on and on, all the products I make.
But the holes in this stuff are big enough for you to weave yarn through.
That's right. I weave yarn to it.
Is there a name for this, the kind of art you're doing? When certain things, like the silk screening for shirts and all? I mean, is this a kind of a fad now, or is it something you created?
Well, it's not really a fad, and it's nothing that I've created. It's technically you could call it weaving.
Okay, weaving. But what is the name of the material again? You're calling a plastic something, a canvas?
Oh, plastic canvas.
Okay. And so what type of yarn, it comes in all kind of thicknesses. Are we talking like crochet-size yarn or bigger or smaller or what?
It's regular four-ply yarn, regular knitting yarn.
Knitting yarn, okay.
Okay. And do you have an outlet for your wares? I mean, you, where do you try to sell them?
I try to sell them out of my home, out of church fairs, arts and crafts shows, anywhere that the good thing about my product is it's quite portable. I can take it anywhere I go, and people see it. And, if they like it, I give them information, and they purchase it. Or
Well, other than, I guess, like the obvious, maybe a needle with, that you pull the yarn through, are there any special tools or little devices, little jigs or templates that you've made or purchased that, that help you in this?
Just a pair of scissors, which my wife, who's fully sighted, I do the pattern, and she cuts it out for me, then I'll sew it together. For example, a tissue box cover, four sides and top, so she'll cut the pieces out. I'll sew them all together once it's all weaved in. So it's a two-person operation.
Well, do you have patterns that you go by? Like if I wanted a tissue box with a butterfly on it or something, or do you just are these just ad-libbed? I mean, kind of created on the spot as you go and just sort of like what like modern art or abstract?
It's a little bit of both. I've created a number of things on my own out of designing like the picture in my mind and deciding what I want to do, going from there. Then we have pattern books that my wife looks at, and she'll tell me to put, say, example, 10 stitches of yellow on the first line, 5 stitches of blue on the next one.
Okay.
And we work that way.
That's
yes, I could do patterns like butterflies or scenery or anything you pretty much like.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. Would it be any way you could kind of describe how you do a stitch? Like, do you go in one hole and around, and like sort of like maybe doing the twos on a chair caning? Or I mean, you go up and through and around, or is there any maybe describe how you weave, I guess.
Oh, I just like start at one corner, then I'll go down from, say, 1 o'clock to the 7 o'clock position, then back through the next hole, and through the 1 to 7 o'clock position again, and when I come to the end of the row, I reverse the stitch and go from 7 o'clock up to the 1 o'clock position, all the way across, and so forth, back and forth that way.
Okay. How did you learn about this plastic canvas stuff that you're working with?
I have a friend of mine that was doing it. One day, they were over here visiting me, and they were working on a project, and they went out of the room for a minute, and I picked it up, and I was just poking the needle through the holes out of boredom or trying to learn it on my own. And they came back and said, what are you trying to do? And I said, I'm trying to do this. And they, being sighted, said, oh, I don't think you could do that because you're visually impaired.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, you want to bet? Because I'm the type of person, if you give me a challenge, I'll go with it. And they left the needle here, I guess either by accident or maybe on purpose, and some scraps of yarn. And on my own, I just started practicing going through the holes and making the various stitches, making a few patterns on my own. Then when I came back to visit, I said, hey, what do you think of this? And they said, you didn't do that. Your wife did it. And I said, no, she didn't do it. I did. And they said, no, you couldn't have. You can't see. And I said, I did too. And my wife looked. She says, you know what? He did do this.
Yeah, so actually you got into this kind of by accident. I mean, you think they left that stuff there on purpose? Or
I think so, because I said, I can't do this. And they pretty much said, no, you can't. And I said, yes, I can. And I think they left it here on purpose, knowing that I would pick it up and
so they wanted you to prove to yourself that you couldn't do it. Instead, you proved that you could.
Exactly.
Well, all right, go ahead.
Well, yeah, Henry, I was wondering, too, you talked about earlier, like, the different things that you make, and you said, like, the tissue box cover. I have a question to ask you about that, and then also the icebox magnets. Two things, like, on the tissue box cover, then, this is, like, would be a three-dimensional, you know, top, bottom, and then sides, I assume. So there's some sewing involved, is there not, where you put the sides together, or you do that as part of your pattern with the yarn? You might maybe describe how you make this tissue box cover. Everybody pretty much knows what a Kleenex box or so looks like.
Yeah.
Okay. What I do is I fill in the pattern. I have like a full-size sheet of plastic canvas, which is about 13 and a half inches long by maybe 9.5 inches wide.
Okay.
Almost the size of a piece of print paper, right? A little bigger.
Yes, it is. About that size. And I'll fill in the pattern that I want to do for the dimensions of the tissue box, which are about, 4 inches wide by 5 inches long. And when it's all filled in, I give it to my wife, and she cuts out around the edging for me. And then I'll take the tissue box, like the four sides and the top, and I'll sew the sides together in what I call a whip stitch.
Right.
And that holds it all together. And when it's finished, I put a bottom border on it to finish it off.
Right. In fact, I guess in this deal, you wouldn't even need a bottom, because that's the way you put the... You just put this over the Kleenex box, and then you have a little slot in the top
so
the tissues come out, and then so you don't really need a bottom. The bottom of the box serves as the bottom.
Nope.
Is it?
No, that would make it kind of hard to get the tissues in if you had a bottom on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a little difficult.
Okay. Well, all right, then going back to your icebox magnets, then I take it you are also not limited. I mean, that's pretty small, so... Or are the icebox magnets large? You might describe how you make one of those, because that's just going to involve putting on some hardware, right?
No hardware per se. Just I'll just make, like, for example, maybe a cross, and I'll fill in the middle. My wife will cut it out, then she'll take the hot glue gun, and she'll glue a magnet on the back.
Right. Okay. So there's your hardware.
Oh, well, I guess you could call it hardware.
Yeah, okay. That would be hardware.
Right.
So, but you haven't tried the hot glue gun yourself.
No, I'm not that. I'm not either that crazy or dangerous.
With the glue sticks. Oh, I think you can do it. I think I've done it. You might get a little singe hair around his eyebrows. You can see that. But
I might lose a few fingers.
Nah, you could probably do it. So she helps you. Well, how long does it take to make a Kleenex box cover?
Well, if I start on it early in the morning,
yeah,
I can usually finish a full box in about a week. That's from planning the pattern to
in about a week.
Finish.
In about a week.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we're not talking mass production.
We're not,
here,
yeah, really.
I think these are one of a kind.
These
signed
really,
by the artist.
They're really one of a kind, aren't they?
They are one of a kind. Yes.
Of course, the more of them you do, the faster you'll get. But a week—that's a long time to work on.
What would
I don't
you
have
charge for something
that's one
like
my
that.
Question. What would you charge for something like that?
Well, if it's a plain box, which is just, you know, no fancy tops or anything on it, $20 per box. And if it's a gift box, which looks like a gift with the bow on top and the ribbon on the sides, that's $25.
So you're not going to get rich doing this, are you?
I don't think so, but it...
Say, Henry, though, but look here. Somebody contacted you and say, I need 100 Kleenex box covers. You're not talking 100 weeks here. I mean, you got a way. Maybe y'all could kind of snap it up down there in Connecticut. What do you think?
Well, I'm looking into the possibility of taking on more people to work with me.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah, of course, the more you do, the faster you'll get. I used to, when I was a kid, I wove potholders, and I got to where, you know, I could knock out several every day. And the first one I did took a day and a half, I think. But it's like caning chairs.
Well, that led to another question. How strong is this material? Like, if you had it in place of cane in a chair, if you sat on it, would it hold you or will it tear?
Well, if you sit on a tissue box cover, you're going to fall right down.
No, I'm talking about just the material stretch. How strong is this? Like, can you tear this canvas with your hands, or do you have to cut it?
You have to cut it. You can't really tear hands.
Okay, because I was thinking this may be a new industry. Instead of chair caning, maybe you did patterns and do it in lieu of cane in a chair. It might open up a whole new industry for you.
Did they teach you to cane? Where did you go to school? You go to a blind school or what?
No, when I lost my sight, I just went to the blind agency here in Connecticut to learn.
Yeah.
Pretty much relearn everything.
So you were grown when you lost your eyesight, right?
Yes.
At what age were you, sir?
29.
And you lost your eyesight because of what, diabetes or what?
No, it was, I call it like a freak of nature. I just woke up one morning and couldn't see good.
Oh, that wouldn't be good at all.
I had cataracts as a child, and the doctor said scar tissue just started regrowing and pulled the retinas off the back of the eyes, and that was all she wrote.
And woke up one morning and couldn't see. What did you do before then? What was your job before then, did you?
I was a certified public accountant.
Really?
I had my own office, my own car, and I pretty much had the world at my doorstep, and I lost everything.
And all of a sudden you went blind.
Henry, you don't think you could be a blind CPA? And
I tried that, but I was putting out more money for special education than I would be doing actual work.
Right.
And you found that the commission there in Connecticut wouldn't help you?
Not really.
The Commission for the Blind? Well, imagine that.
How many years ago has this been? How long have you been blind, Henry?
20 years.
So you're approaching 50, huh?
I try not to think like that.
Well, no, we're all
older. We're all 10 years older than
we're
you.
We're all 10 years, so. 10 years, 10 or 12 years older than you, so we don't worry. I remember 50, but it's been a long time in my rearview mirror.
So,
were a CPA.
Where's your degree from, Henry?
Pardon?
Where's your degree from for accounting?
It was from Sacred Heart University.
Okay, Connecticut school?
Yes, in Connecticut.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Well, you know, you deal with what you got, and you're blind now, so you got to deal with that. But I would bet you that there are some blind CPAs. You might think about that. Of course, you got your life like you want it, and you know, why screw it up by getting a job, right?
Well, hey, I like being my own boss.
Yeah, it's better. We all like being our own boss. That's why none of us work. A CPA, and you woke up one morning and you couldn't see. Did you have at that time a wife and kids or what?
No, at the time I was single, and I was living on my own in my own apartment, and I just had to do a radical 360 lifestyle change.
Well, it's all you could do, you know.
Before you woke up that morning, you said you had cataracts as a child. See, I was born with them too, so I never could see 20/20. Could you at one time? Did you drive a car and all that, or were you just good partially?
You said you had a car, yeah.
Yes, I drove a car and I did everything. But I had full sight up to age 29.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's a tough lick to take, but you've handled it and. You fought it for 20 years and you survived. And we talked to blind people. We've got a good friend named Dale Campbell who's riding down the freeway and could see one minute, and next minute he couldn't. Had a car wreck and it ripped his face up and both eyes were gone. So you're not alone. And there's lots of there are support groups and support lists. And at least you're married to a lady who helps you, right?
That's true.
Who takes care of you. All right, sir. Well, why don't you give us a phone number and do you have email? You got a computer up going or not?
Yes, I have a name for my business. It's called Hands On Crafts.
Hands On Crafts.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone wanted to buy something or talk to you about this, how would they get a hold of you? Do you mind giving us your phone number?
Well, I can give you my address and phone number. They can reach me in any format they like.
All right.
They can write me in Braille, print, tape, telephone.
All right.
And an address I'll give you is 127 Platt Street. P as in Peter, L as in Lincoln, A as in Apple, T as in Tom.
Platt Street.
That would be apartment D as in Dog. And that's in Milford. That's M as in Michael, I, L as in Lincoln, Ford, like the car. And that's here in Connecticut. And the zip code is 06460-7542.
Okay.
And if they want to reach me, they can reach me at either my home phone number or my cell number, which is both numbers are area code 203. And my home number is 876-1696.
Uh-huh.
And the cell number is 809-4781. And if they can't reach me on the cell number, they can always leave a voicemail on there, and I will definitely get back to them.
All right. You want to give? You have an email address you want to give, or you want to leave it at that?
Well, if there's anything else you'd like to know, I'm an open book here.
All right. Very good. We'll maybe you'll get some calls and sell a bunch of those and keep you busy for weeks. Henry,
appreciate it,
sir. And we'll talk with you in a day or two. Thanks much.
Yeah, Henry, enjoyed meeting you. You were a great guest.
Back with more Blind Handyman in just a minute.
On streaming audio at the For the People website. From Houston's Taping for the Blind on the Houston Radio Reading Service. From the In Touch Radio Reading Service and on radio reading services all across the nation. And of course at acdradio.org. If your radio reading service is not airing Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, let them know both shows are available free of charge. Contact us at blindlikeme@txucom.net or call 936-634-9500. That's the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me at new times in new places. Help us spread the word to blind people all around the world. Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman. Available free to qualified blind people and their sight-dependent friends.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, so we started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to? I want a nice house and kids and a good job. But how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
Are listening to the Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Well, you come back to me every time, don't we, huh? let me just mention very quickly, we are attempting to get together a little group gathering in Houston, Texas, on or about the first and or second weekend of November of this year. We will be doing our 100th show, Blind Handyman Show. It's hard to believe that. We've done, this is, I think it's 83.
83,
right. So we've got 17 more to go, and that'll come out just about right. We can fudge around a little bit and skip a week or two, whatever we have to do. But we're going to do our 100th show, and our plan is to get everybody together, everybody that wants to come together at a hotel close to the Intercontinental Airport on the north side of Houston, which is about 2 hours from us, where we are. We're in Lufkin, which is 120 miles north of Houston. So we'll all get together there. Come in on Thursday evening. And we have a couple of motivational speakers, guest blind folks that we're going to get to come and talk with us Friday to give us a little pep talk and talk about their experience being blind and some blind people that they've met. And just generally shoot the bull Friday, have a couple of good meetings Friday. Try not to bore anybody and make you yawn too much. And Friday night, I thought I'd get some... We'll have some people there that play music, and if we don't have enough, I'll bring some folks in from Lufkin, and we'll just have a little gathering. Maybe if anybody wants to dance, they could, or you know, if maybe we'll bring. I've got a guy that's offered to lend me 450 karaoke songs that he's got, a big collection of karaoke music. Bring that, and if anybody wants to sing, let them sing, and just have a couple of music nights. Saturday morning, actually record a Blind Handyman show in front of a live audience with all the gang, Tom and both Dons and me. And whoever else wants to come, probably Dale and everybody, the whole handyman gang, do that Saturday morning. And then Saturday afternoon, if anyone's interested, maybe a tour of NASA. There's a big space facility down there. If we get enough people interested in that, I think they would probably furnish us a bus and come and get us and give us a tour and probably bring us back. But all that is all speculation. In fact, the whole thing is speculation. But my point is this. If you are interested, send me an email to my personal address, which is philparr@txucom.net. philparr@txucom, all one thing, just philparr@txucom.net. And what I want to do is I make a file. I've got about 20 responses already from people that would like to come. I put you in the file, and when I get details, which will be within the next couple of weeks, I will email you and let you know of what the rooms are going to cost and what approximate meal charge and what the taxi fare will be. Of course, we're finding a hotel that's got a shuttle from the airport to the hotel. And so work out the details and see if you can afford it and if you think you'd like to come. No pressure. No, you know, I don't care whether you come or not. I'd love for you to come, but I'm not going to try to force anybody to. But just so I'll have a list of people to contact when I get some details. Anyway, philparr@txucom. If you think you'd be interested, send me an email. All right?
You back?
Yes, sir.
Been on a beer run. Had somebody.
Errand of mercy, Mr. Houston.
Thank you, Pat. Mr. Houston was fixing to.
Shaw, of course,
you,
is. It's good. Yeah. Of course, Shaw's not here, and he usually does that little deed for us. And Don, we miss you, Don. We do.
We yeah. really do.
Hurry
we
back. Really do. But have no fear. Mark Christie's on standby.
You're not easy. Mark Christie's in charge of the Abitibi division of the Texas Workforce Commission. All those guys that are out of work from the paper mill that closed here.
Whoa.
So Mark's got all the work he can. He's the only one that knows anything about it. And so that's a little job security for our boy Mark Christie.
Well, we're glad to hear it. I was tired of him being the assistant manager at some nondescript bookstore.
Well, that's Mark's actually got a job, isn't it? Nice.
That's a real
wonderful.
Job.
A real job. We're happy about that. You hadn't been around. You notice he used to come over once a month or so and watch us do the show.
Right.
Kind of lusting after our jobs.
And he doesn't need us now.
He doesn't need us for anything. Now. He's still doing that thing you agreed to do and backed out on me. But
and he's doing a darn good job.
He is doing a darn good job when I get him over here to do him.
Yeah.
All right. We want to talk about a little summer maintenance that one can do around your house to save you a lot of problems, you know?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we had, you know, if y'all are regular listeners of the show, you know about the warden and I are in our new home. And, of course, that we've done my latest and biggest project that I've undertaken is putting in the lawn. And yeah. And landscaping, even the parts that I've left kind of in the rough, kind of cleaning out underbrush and sort of that.
Well, you want those trees where you can walk up to them, where you don't have all that junk around, like the in front of the blind school hedge out there. Remember?
Right. Where you can, you know, it's attractive and it's it protects your house, gives you a lends itself to privacy, but yet underneath you could walk through or the dog can kind of scoot through and all that. But anyway, in the course of this, of course, you're in, you know, it's a man's encounter with nature, and you have ants. And we'll do it on another show. I want to talk to you about bees, because I could see how it could really be a problem, you know, with blind folks. And but anyway, and uh, So as maintenance, routine maintenance dictated on our septic system, it also became time for its 3-month checkup, and it's still under warranty and all that, and the people who installed the septic system are bound by state law to come and inspect it for, I think, the first year or something, for every 3 months, to make sure that it's running properly and that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And in your septic system, of course, you put chlorine tablets. We have one of the new aerator systems. But back to the ants, as their man was there checking out my system, he told me, he said, you need to do something about these ants here. He said, they're going to get in your septic system and in other appliances that we'll get to in a minute. You have a little compressor there, a little electric motor. It runs all the time that puts air into the system. And the fire ants, the notorious fire ants, and I think here in Texas we call everything fire ants except little sugar ants, because I think that's about the only kind we have. But anyway, had crawled up. There's a concrete slab on which the little motor and compressor sat, and these ants had built a little mound all around it in the grass. And, of course, they will just devastate, destroy electrical contacts. They can just render electrical motors and equipment useless. And so we use Amdro. Here, the powder that you put kind of directly on the mound. But oddly enough, a lot of fire ants, they range out. There's not necessarily a visible mound. And so we treat it. Amdro is a poison by ingestion, I think, where they take it back to the queen and allegedly the entire bed dies. But also in a situation like this, you might want a little common, just some contact killer, just some good old-fashioned insect killer to really clean the area, the slab and around the motor. This also applies like to air conditioning units and or water wells, any electrical motor that's outside, swimming pool pumps that sit, that are not enclosed, totally secure, and that sit close to the ground or at risk. And, we're talking something that's not it's not inexpensive. I mean, if they damage the motor or the compressor part on your air conditioning unit, I don't know what the attraction is. I don't know why the ants gravitate toward electric motors and contacts and all that, but that's actually what they'll do. They'll get in there and really literally fry themselves, and they just, the contacts go out, or they cause a short, or they cause, and they can just destroy
motor. They'll take out your well pump or your air conditioner motor or your swimming pool pump motor, and won't think a thing about it.
Right, and if at all possible, I noticed like the man that we had the email from earlier was building the little concrete thing for his garbage cans. That's a project I'm going to go do at one point. But also, you can buy fairly substantial concrete pads, like for an air conditioner. You could buy it, so that might be another alternative. But anything that you can, what that does is gets you up where the garbage can's on there. It's not sitting down in the grass. And or any motor, anything that you have outside that's running air conditioner should be on a concrete pad, because that way if you can't see, at least somebody else can. It keeps it out of the grass, and these little fire ants go in little lines. You can see them going and coming and going and coming, and so it would help you maintain control of them. Keep it well edged, well mowed around your concrete pad, and then liberal use of this Amdro.
Can you buy a bigger than a 1-foot concrete pad at Lowe's? Like, can you buy a 3-foot across?
I don't know that you can at Lowe's. I'm not sure where these air conditioner guys get them, but I know they're available. And believe it or not, my air conditioners are sitting on pads, but they're not concrete. They look like concrete. I'm not sure what. If you feel of them, this will sound stupid. It almost feels like a foam, like rubber, insulation in a box.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's obviously heavier
than
that.
But if you couldn't buy them in, we know you can buy 1-foot square.
Right.
Blocks
I've seen 16 by 16 inches.
Okay, if you could buy 16 by 16, mm-hmm. you need about 6 of those, and you got a nice thing to set your garbage can on, and it would be a whole lot cheaper than trying to build forms and pour a lot less trouble mm-hmm. than trying to build forms, and may not be cheaper, but it'd be a lot less trouble than lifting a sack of saccharide and mixing it and trying to trowel it off if you couldn't see. I just do that. Level off the ground and get you four of those, and maybe then wet the ground down, lay them down, and let them level themselves, and bingo, you got a place to set your...
Yeah, they make enough good weed killer.
Sure they do.
Or also, they make some material now I encountered the other day. It's recycled tires, recycled rubber. It's about an eighth of an inch thick. And you put it down in the bottom of a flower bed, and grass and weeds will not grow through it, but water and plant fertilizer and stuff can seep through
it. I've seen that stuff.
And so you could put that under your slab, and then put your four blocks like Phil talked about.
Well, I'd treat the ground. Yeah. You know, they make you, if you're building a house, and what, of course, I learned this when I was building this building 6-8 years ago. They made me treat the ground before the slab was poured. They had an exterminator come out and treated the ground, and that was... That luckily they were fixing to pour the slab, and they asked me if I'd done it, and I found a guy that came out within an hour and did it. I didn't know that had to be done, but so I'd treat the ground before I put the blocks down or poured the concrete.
And like I say, the ants. If you have your garbage can on any material, I mean, other than the grass or like your motors, it just helps you see, helps someone. You know, the septic tank guy, when he was there, he said, hey, you need to do something about these ants. Well, it's because I hadn't been over there and gotten stung by them, and he saw them when he was trying to work. And he said, you know, and then he started telling me all of the damage that they could do, which I am aware of. You might want to, and then on your ant killers, now that there's two schools of thought, you know, you have the Amdro, and there's another popular brand that you put directly on the mound and then they carry it. But then there's also some now that you can put in a fertilizer spreader, like a broadcaster or a rotary spreader, and do your entire lawn. Now, I've not heard anyone just rave about that. I know two people that's done the treatment, and they weren't satisfied, so we don't know that you need to do it more than once.
Amdro is what you need.
It'll kill them. And just to start with, right on your motor, get you some good contact killer that'll just nuke the ones that you can see. And
you might do that as a preventive thing. If you have a motor sitting out somewhere, you might get some Amdro and put around the motor just as a preventive, just to keep them. You know, just to keep them down. All right, Donald, that's going to do it.
Well, we've done another one, as you say.
Done another one without our
83.
Without our boy Don Shaw. And Don, you were sorely missed. We miss you, Mr.
The flags are flying at half mast, even though you're still with us.
That's for Ronald Reagan.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was for Don Shaw.
Well. Anyway, we'll do it again next week. We'll have Cooking with Dale Campbell next week, and then we'll be on vacation. But thank you, Pat.
Yes, appreciate sir. Enjoyed it. Hurry back, Shaw.
Thomas Houston, Vic.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.
Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.